a great time of year when you have all the high school graduations, people have these new beginnings. You also have in the church, this is the ordination season. On Monday, we had a handful of young men who were ordained to the transitional diaconate, who will be ordained priests next summer. And then coming in less than 2 weeks, we're going to have a handful of men, four of them who will be ordained priests. And so it's an exciting time, and they'll be having their first masses. It's also the time for spring allergies and spring colds. And so my voice, I've been barely holding on to it for the last couple days, but don't you worry, I'm not going to sell you short. Today is Trinity Sunday, and there's so much to say about the Trinity. You don't laugh at that, do you? But the beautiful thing, ordination's first masses. I remember my first mass, I'd had Christ the King in Mandan. And you know, priests practice saying the mass that whole last year that they're a seminarian. It's a strange thing because you go through everything. You go through all the words. You have the bread. You have the wine. But nothing changes. But then on that day of your first mass, you do those same things. Except you're a lot more nervous because you're in front of all your relatives and family. And something changes. It's incredible. I'd heard about the first mass a couple years ago of a man whose name was Father John. He was a later vocation. He was ordained at the age of 32. And at his first mass, he had a vision. He had a very clear vision where he saw Jesus in chains and shackles next to two other people who were also in chains and shackles. And so he went, after his first mass, later on that day, to his good friend Father Felix, who was a hermit and a trusted priest whom he had known for many years, and he told him this vision. And he said, I know you think it's crazy, but I think we're supposed to start a religious community dedicated to ransoming those who are slaves. This was the 12th century. And it was in Spain. And during this time, there was a particular peak in the slave trade from Africa, but also the Spaniards and the Moors had been fighting for centuries. And everyone who lived along the Mediterranean coast lived in immense fear of that time, that they would be taken prisoners by the pirates and marauders of those ages. The pirates are on the sea, and marauders are basically pirates who go deeper into land, and they would kidnap people and sell them. And so he brought this to Father Felix, and they prayed about it, not just for weeks or months, but they prayed about this for years because it was urgent. But they needed to be sure that this was something that was from God, and not just from their pride or an impulse. And so they prayed about it for years, and with their bishop's granting, they began a religious order called the Trinitarians, with Father John Matha, Father Felix, and others. And what this group would do, what the Trinitarians would do, is they would go to these towns and locations where the slaves were being sold. And if they could, they would buy the slaves from the pirates and the marauders for gold that they had begged for and that people had donated. And if they couldn't do that, if the slaves would not be sold for gold, they would exchange their very selves for these slaves. They would say, free this man, free this woman, and I will take their place. And this was the whole thing this order was dedicated to. Could you imagine that? These Trinitarians. Their whole purpose, their mission statement is, we exist for the glory of the most holy Trinity and the redemption of captives. In the campus restaurant, at the University of Mary, you know, they have that awful nickname, the Marauders. Isn't it great and awful? In the campus restaurant, the Crow's Nest, there's this statue. And it's a statue of Father John Matha sitting there at a table with a marauder. And they're in conversation. And the statue is about conversion. Because there's the table and there's gold that's coming out of this bag that John Matha has. And the marauder is sitting there and he's listening to John speak to him. And he's sort of leaning in but holding back. And you can almost imagine what he's thinking. Here's this crazy priest offering gold for these slaves and saying he would take their place if they wouldn't take the gold. And he's thinking, who would do this? Who would do this and why? And you can see in the midst of it, there's this conversion that's happening. They came to free the slaves whose shackles you can see, and that was their goal. But John Matha knew as well there, what God was doing within that is he was freeing the marauders who wore shackles and chains that you couldn't see. Their souls were enslaved. And there's this conversion going on. Why would someone do that? Who are these people? This is what John Matha founded with Father Felix, the Trinitarian Order. Why do you think they called themselves the Trinitarians? Of all the names they could have chosen, of all the great names, they called themselves the Trinitarians. Because their mission was all about the image of God, the image of the Trinity in every human person. The dignity of every human person. Because the Trinity, Trinity Sunday, the Trinity is a theological way of explaining essentially that God is love. In the Trinity, we celebrate on this Sunday not something that God has done. Almost everything we celebrate in the church is something that God has done. Look at every one of these windows. There is something happening that God has done. Here, God takes on flesh and he's incarnate at Christmas. God doing something. Here's Pentecost last week. God sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus taking on flesh in his church. God doing something. Trinity Sunday is not anything about God doing nothing. It's about who God is. It's a revelation by God himself of who he is. And it tells us not just who God is, but it tells us at the deepest sense who we are. That we are created in the image and likeness of God. And it tells us who we are, irregardless of what we've done or what we haven't done. That this is about the dignity of the human person. That in the image of God, we have the capacity of reason to know. We have the capacity of will to choose. And together with those two, we have the power to love, which is what God is. And this dignity that each one of us have. It's a dignity that cannot be lessened. No matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter what your state in life is, you have a dignity that cannot be lessened 1 ounce. It's been 19 years now, this being the season of graduation and graduation speeches. It's been 19 years now since I graduated high school. Isn't that incredible? You guys would guess it being like 9 years. No, I'm much older than you think I am. I feel much older some days. But my high school graduation, I finished third in my class of eight. I barely made the top half, and they let me give a speech at graduation. It was such a scam. But they're like, we have eight people, it's gonna take 5 minutes. Just let him give a speech, that's fine. They made a huge mistake. But I'm sure it was completely unmemorable in all sorts of ways. But praying about this reading, I remembered one thing from my high school speech at graduation. You know, when you graduate high school, we have some graduates here. For the first time in your life, you're rich. For the first time in your life, you're rich. Especially if you spent your life working on a farm pro bono for your dad. You didn't have income. But you get these cards, and people, I don't know why, they put money in them. So you get a card, and you get two 20s, and you go to the next one, you get like a 50. And you open one, you get a big hundo from Uncle Charlie. And you've got like $400 or $500 sitting there. And so you're feeling great. You're doling out money here. You get a 20, you get a 20, you get a 20. So my high school graduation, I had a $20 bill. It was a nice, crisp one. And I took it out and I said, we've had 12 years of education. And in all my years of school, math was my worst subject, still is. But how much is this bill worth? Now, I only brought a one now because I'm wiser and I know that money, 20s is a lot, $20 is a lot of money. So I just have a one here. But I asked my class, how much is this worth? What's its value? And I said, no, I'm actually asking you to give an answer. $20. That's right. And then I took it, I crumpled it up, I spit on it, I stomped on it a bunch, jumped up and down. Stomped on it with my shoes that had all Lord knows what on the bottom of them, growing up on a farm. And I took it, and it was all dirtied and crumpled up. And I asked, how much is this worth now? What's its value? One of my classmates, Ross, raised his hand. He said, it's worth $20. I said, you got it. I gave him the $20 because I was rich. But the point, the absolute simple point of the Trinity in us is that you have a dignity. You have a value in you which can never be lessened 1 cent. No matter how much you get beaten up, no matter how dirtied your life gets, you have a value within you that's eternal. Do you know how crazy these Trinitarians were? They were completely indiscriminate in who they would ransom. If you were a slave, they would come to ransom you without discrimination. It was incredible. And so you can imagine, because they would take whole families, if they would come and they would trade for gold, a family with a wife and a mother and small children, beautiful, a family that's completely innocent that hasn't done anything except for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. They would also come and they would free those who were slaves who had been sold off from the prisons, who had done Lord knows what, who had killed and done awful things. And they would ransom with gold or their very lives those slaves as well. Because while some people deserve to be in prison, no one, they said, because of their dignity, deserves to be a slave. And they would ransom. And they did this because what they did was in imitation of Christ, who ransomed his life for a slave. He ransomed his life for a slave, you, for me. And throughout all of history, where this simple thing, but where this core thing has been forgotten, the dignity of the human person, the absolute darkest things in humanity have happened. It becomes an inversion of the Trinity. The evils are many, but yet they have one source. And so in St. John Mathis' time, it was slavery. 75 years ago, it was the Holocaust. In our day, you could count thousands of evils. But what are a big three of them in honor of the Trinity? Abortion, the Holocaust of our time, racism, the original sin of our country, euthanasia, which is happening now and legalized, but it's coming, the full push for it, like a friggin' freight train. These three things, and they all have one source. That's forgetting, neglecting, disregarding human dignity. It all comes from that evil. And the great temptation, of course, for us who see the evil in that, is when we oppose it to forget the dignity of those that we're opposing. We forget what John Mathis saw, that the pirates and the marauders, they weren't the enemy, actually. That we're not struggling against other people. We're struggling against evil. St. Paul says we're not contesting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the spiritual powers of darkness. Other people aren't the enemy. Evil is. And when we forget that in those we're opposing, when we see them just as marauders and killers, we become puppets in Satan's hand instead of saints like John Matha. John Matha, who saw them for what they were and sought to liberate them as he was seeking to liberate those whom they were imprisoning and whom they were enslaving. He saw them for what they were, that these are men and women who are enslaved by the powers of evil and the powers of darkness. And he saw as well the image of God in them. And that, how do we liberate them? With what gold? St. Paul says we're children of God today, and as children we're also heirs. We inherit everything. We have at our disposal every rich treasure in the kingdom of God. All of that is at our disposal in power of prayer and in the power of the greatest treasure of the kingdom of God, which is our very selves. Because the darkest things come when the human dignity is forgotten. The most powerful light, even in the 20th century, has come into the world by specific people who their whole mission was seeing the dignity in each human life. Who are the greatest saints of the 20th century? Mother Teresa, whom the forgotten people living in sewage, forgotten and discarded, she would take each one because she saw Jesus in them. She saw the image of God in them. John Paul II, who his whole pontificate was about the dignity of the human person because he had seen it discarded, both in the Holocaust and in communism. Discarded. His whole pontificate was the dignity of each and every human person. The power of the modern hospital system, that came from the dignity of the person, and let all be received as Christ, as you see when you walk into CHI Hospital. Where darkness can come when it's forgotten, the greatest light and the greatest power comes when it's seen for what it is. The Trinity, that image is stamped in every human being. And the power to liberate, you have every treasure in heaven to do that. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God our Father, I ask that you send together with your Son, the Holy Spirit, down upon each person who is gathered here. Help them to see the image of God in every single person they encounter, most especially those who they hate. those who they see as their enemy. Help them to see the image of God and to truly love and self-sacrifice to serve that person, to serve their dignity with generosity and with joy. Father, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.